Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Awe, 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 awe
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Several years back there was a movie out there that was about some folks that guy that built a baseball field. You build it and they will come. I believe that was the name of the movie. Might have been a short version. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of like the concept that the Knights of the Round Table came out to be, you know, because looking out there in this world and seeing all the chaos and all the craziness going on, it's just, what are you going to do, you know? If we just sit idly by and never say or do anything, then the whole world's bad. At least our portion of the universe is starting to make some leaps forward in the alternative energy community and friends that we've gathered from all over the globe. To me, I think it was a worthy cause, even if you know, our ultimate goal doesn't finally get achieved, which our ultimate goal is, if anybody's been listening to this show, knows that we were trying to make this world a better place for the future of all generations. You know, can you do that with just talk? Not necessarily, but it doesn't hurt to, you know, say the words out there and put the positive message out there so that hopefully people will adopt that into their life. In our case, we're doing just a little bit more than talk. We're trying to put things like virtual labs together, and we're bringing some brilliant minds from all over the globe, man. I mean, there's people in Australia, there's people in Canada, and Bulgaria, there's people in Ireland, Scotland, all over the United States. There's multiple networks and multiple networks rebroadcasting. So, you know, we built it, and they are coming. You know, I'm hoping that our momentum gains enough speed to finally overtake the momentum of all the craziness going on in the world. There's still a lot of need and necessities out there in this world, things that need to be addressed and taken care of. You know, there's a lot of atrocities, and, you know, there's still people suffering in this world. And the only thing that we can do is use the resources that we got in conjunction with one another and point out the things that need to be addressed and try to find somebody in that area who can, you know, either deliver some supplies or some message of hope or something, you know. I've said this many times. I can't understand how governments will have, you know, the millions and billions of dollars that they waste on wars, and instead of using that massive resource that they've got to go around and solve all the issues of the world, you know, such as starvation and sickness and all that, they would rather take all that resource and go around and destroy, you know. And to me, it's beyond stupid. It's a total lack of common sense, you know. But what do you do outside of not supporting the system that is the beast that's eating us all alive, you know? I I think we need to starve that beast. Can we just rush right out there and slay the dragon and roll on with our version of what the world should be? We're not looking for a one-world government. We're looking for a one-world idea, a society by which everybody treats each other with respect, coming from all different backgrounds, races, political views, and so on and so forth. So here at the Knights of the Round Table is your platform to come here, sit down at the table, talk about all kinds of things, anything from alternative energy to alternative medicines, things you've learned about in the law. I mean, it's... you know, putting knowledge in your fellow brothers and sisters' minds all over the globe, anything that will benefit them. You can become an honorary Knight of the Round Table just by showing up in the chat room, posting some pertinent links, you know, and it's as simple as a Skype call to become a Knight of the Round Table. If you come on here and you treat all your brothers and sisters with respect and agree to disagree in a respectful manner, that's what it's all about. You know, it's about putting the positive messages out there, information. Since we've been doing this show, we've shared a vast amount of knowledge, a vast amount of research. We got some wonderful knights and dames of the round table, awesome information, research capabilities beyond, you know, what one person could accomplish by themselves. And so with that said, we got to keep the dream alive. The dream of making our world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. And that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. So if you like what you're hearing on these shows, please share it with your social medias, you know. Share it out there in your chat rooms. You know, email it to a friend. The link's on there. And, you know, if you believe what we're trying to accomplish in the alternative energy, Cultus has put a few links up there to try to raise some funds to get a 3D printer so that we can put some of these devices that you keep hearing us talk about together. We want a put-up or shut-up type of network. We want to be able to, you know, vet those knuckleheads that are trying to pull a fast one on the good people of the world. And we want to put things out there under the microscope that people can really build, you know, things in the alternative energy, such as, you know, if I come up with a what I call free energy, not over unity, not, you know, zero point energy, you know, we're surrounded by energy. And so I show you by ways that you can tap into that using junk that you find around your house, things that most folks throw away. That's kind of where my lab all started, all recycled stuff. But either there, there's neither here nor there. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of good connections between the individuals working in every field out there, from Tesla to Muddy does axial flux wind turbines, and we just have a vast amount of talent that comes around this table, and this is what it's all about. So, you know, with that said, Cultus, you want to go around and introduce all the knights that we have here?
No worries at all, mate. And good morning to everyone in the States there, and good evening to everyone over here in Australia, and a good day to everyone else, wherever else you may be in the world. Now that we've got that out of the way, we'll start from the top corner as we normally do, and we're joined by Sir Knight Larry, Sir Knight Steve, Sir Knight Muddy Muddy Mudman, Sir Knight Thomas, Sir Knight Grant, Sir Knight Kent, Sir Knight Ken, too used to saying Kent, and we have our wonderful Dame Ellie with us this week as well. So,
hooray! Just remember, old King Shaziz the Terrible rules with an iron fist.
It's really made of jello.
They don't call me terrible for nothing. I heard that. Somebody throw him out.
It's not made out of rubber for a kung fu grip.
Hey, don't make me throw on kung fu fighting again. Remember where we were talking about kicking the TV yesterday? Hey, that's what I'm saying.
You can play that if those guys ever come back on your lawn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, if that guy out there who ran across my lawn and left a stolen merchandise on my driveway, stay off my grass! Okay. Thank you.
Now, just to put this into perspective, especially because I'm pretty sure we've got a few new listeners out there tonight. we're not talking about a small amount of stolen merchandise as it's been put forward. We're talking about a dirty, great big industrial-sized air compressor that's like mounted on a trailer. It's like came dislodged in Shaziz's driveway on the back of most likely another stolen vehicle. And they've hightailed it out of Shaziz's front yard there and left this blocking his very narrow driveway.
Yeah, peeled out across my grass.
It wasn't me. You can't blame me. I wasn't there. Nobody saw me.
I'd already left the country, dude, so I'm sweet.
All right.
Plane tickets and passports to prove it.
Well, anyway, we'll get that sorted out somehow, some way. So, you know, what do you guys think about...
I still think you should have just spray-painted it blue, mate.
What do you guys think about what I was talking about there, man? Man, everybody's brain just went sideways and their eye went crooked.
I forgot what you were talking about.
Holy smokes, dog. Go outside and do that.
I love you, though.
I wonder how many people were waiting for somebody else to say something so they didn't step on them,
That's
too.
That's exactly what I was doing. I always like pause and wait to see someone light up, and it never happens. I don't know why I bother waiting.
Well,
oh, that's right, because every time I don't, someone jumps in at the exact same moment.
We know Muddy wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I had Bart Simpson on the brain. I'm sorry.
All right. Well,
see, that's the first problem with the world. Television.
Anyway.
Bart Simpson's certainly not a children's program. They marketed it.
Right. To be more specific, the programming on television. Television is a great way to transmit data. The problem is the data that's being transmitted is pretty much mush.
Well,
I threw my TV out 3 years ago, or more. I think it was like 7.
And in this world, you got to take every bit of news with a grain of salt until you research it. And there's a lot of terrible things going on in this world, man. And some of them just heart-wrenching deals that are happening, you know. People persecuted.
I'll say, let's be more really very serious about this, too. That's the fact that you're not being told the really terrible things. And the stuff that they tell you is so terrible, they usually blow that all out of proportion.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. I saw a video here a while back that affected me deep to the core, man. And I just can't visualize what could seriously be inside of somebody's soul to do what I saw in that video. But it was so evil that it just shook me to my very core. And
was it on television though, or was it on online?
It was online, and you know, of course, they wouldn't show. They would have bleeped out or blurred out the portions of this video. And I watched a YouTube video that was talking about something that was going on, and so he provided a link down at the bottom, and I hesitated to watch the link, but I needed to know whether or not it was real or not. And I can assure you that what I saw in that video, I know how people can manipulate video, but I can assure you that what I saw in that video was 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt real and terrifying. And that anybody would do this to another human being is just those folks that were doing that, they weren't by any definition human at all. They weren't as far as I'm concerned, they were pure demons, man. They were pure evil. Essentially, what it ended up, what the video was about, four women being beheaded right there on a video. Now, this probably would have never lasted very long on YouTube. However, there's other links out there to other websites out there that they don't censor any of the video, and you know, I regret seeing this video. I honestly do regret seeing this video. But the fact that these folks are in this world and they're doing the things that they're doing to other human beings is it's beyond anything. You guys know me, man. I mean, I got a huge heart, and when I saw this video, man, I busted out in tears. I was like, my God. you know, when I went to church and I talked to my pastor, I broke out in tears and I told him, I said, look, man, I looked in the eyes of pure evil today and it shook me to the core. And, you know, I just, what do you do? How does one man reach across this globe and stop such atrocities? And there are things going on. You know, we all know that anytime they drop a drone anywhere in this world, that you know, somebody's going to lose, and it's not always the bad guy that loses. A lot of times, there's a lot of innocents, a lot of some children and women that weren't involved in the conflict, or even men for that matter weren't involved in the conflict. Innocent people being killed by indiscriminate bombs being dropped on people. And then you have other organizations out there literally running around beheading people because of their religious beliefs and stuff like that. You don't have to like me because I'm a Christian or, you know, or whatever. You don't even have to believe what I believe. But any religion out there that would tell you that it's okay to go around and murder and behead people, I wouldn't follow a God like that. You know, that's just not me. In my beliefs, you know, regardless of what people say about Christianity or the Bible or whatever, I don't see my Christianity as something that was going to go around and in the name of God start beheading people of other faiths. You know, even if they were pure evil, you know, unless they were trying to make harm on my family, I wouldn't do anything to harm that individual. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep, I believe. I believe, if I remember correctly, didn't Jesus bathe the prostitute's feet because he believed that she was no less of a person than anybody else?
Yes, he did.
And well, that's the sort of angle that it's coming from here, isn't it? That, you know, it doesn't, you know, you have to love, you can't fight a fight with wickedness. You know, all you do is breed more wickedness. You know. Well, fight hatred with love.
I always said
that's your way.
Peace never came from the end of a barrel of gun. You know, it never came from a bomb. It never came from a sword. You never, you know, sure, you can scare somebody into not fighting with you and that kind of stuff there, but at the end of the day, you know, peace didn't cause that. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, exactly. Peace didn't cause war. Love didn't cause war. Hatred and greed caused war, you know. A total lack of regard for another human being's, you know, safety and well-being brought on war, you know, through greed. So, you know,
well,
how do you combat that? You can't combat it with more violence.
Right. The one thing you can see in almost every religion is there's like a schizophrenic mentality into it. And if you look at that schism, you can see where somebody has manipulated someone's faith with a bunch of nonsense to get them to go do violent things to each other. You strip that out, and almost every religion is pretty much nothing but peace, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, you know,
if you look at the Muslim, a lot of the Muslims don't believe what people are saying about them, because they just don't see it. Some of them just never read. If you read at the beginning, it's all about love and everything. And it's a very, very good book. But the deal is, let's put the Bible here in one perspective. The Bible says you got to figure out, you got to listen to your spirit, you got to figure these things out for yourself. But the Muslim, it's whatever was written last supersedes what is before. So it was written in love and then added to. And what was added to changed.
Right. When was it written, though, that what comes last supersedes what came before? Because, I mean, that's not the first thing it said. So who's to say that somebody didn't manipulate that, too, in order to...
Sounds like the government. Yeah. They say a constitution is no longer valid, right? When the Constitution was written, it was written against that to make sure that didn't happen. But
yep.
Well, we know.
Now, yeah, I mean, they signed a piece of paper. Now they own you, you know. So, come on, I didn't sign nothing.
They'll never own me, you know. No matter how hard they try, they'll never own me, you know. They'll never own my spirit or my life, you know. They can run around and say, you know, I'm their slave or whatever, but in my spirit, my mind, my heart, you know, I belong to my God, and my life belongs to me. And so with that said, you know, you throw me up in a prison, torture me, kill me, whatever, you know, you're not gonna take away the true freedom that's inside my heart. And so when I actually see the things like what I was talking about in that video, I just can't visualize from my perspective anybody being that doggone evil, man. I just can't see it. But, you know, when you get out here and you listen to the news and you listen to things that are going on in the alternative media out here on the Internet, there's some pure evil going on. Even the fact that somebody, if it was just a made-up story, you know, to me, that's just as evil as the real deal. You know what I mean? It puts such a it puts such a negativity into the world that, you know, it's just, it's sickening. I mean, I can't, when I was younger, I used to sit around and watch monster movies and, you know, stuff like that. Back in the day, the old Dracula movie was almost laughable. It was so funny. But, you know, nowadays, the modern-day Dracula versions, I mean, it's like total graphic blood, gore, guts, murder, rape, and everything under the sun. That is just, it gets worse as time passes. And those are the kind of things I try to, like, nowadays try to steer away from, man, because I just can't see where in somebody's mind that could even be remotely justified, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, as in being a humane person, where does that even come from? Like, if you've got an ounce of, not even an ounce, if you've got a tenth of a gram of love in your heart, how do you look at a person in the eyes when you're doing that kind of crap to them?
I look at it this way. You look back into your days of school, there was always a bully on the schoolyard. The deal is the kid grew up being desensitized. And going through, you know. So I mean, here they put all the stuff on TV. So your children grow up desensitized, so that the government can use them any way that they want. Used to be there was a bunch of editing and censoring, and shoot, they don't now.
The sexual
things between a man and a woman are shown openly on a screen now. And, you know, stuff that your kids shouldn't know. It's really hard to keep your kids away from it. So then you send your kid to school to where other parents don't even care to censor it and just give the kid $20, go get you something to eat, leave me alone, you know. And they get to school with those kids, and your kid learns to cuss there, learns everything that he shouldn't know before he's 16 or so at least, or 21. But, yeah, I mean, gosh.
Well,
you look at the old. You go way back in the older days, man.
You're creating a massive split by sending them off like that too, and, you know, decoupling them from the family mode too. So that means that basically, at some point, because kids have to bond to someone, they end up bonding to their peers, and that's like the worst thing in the world, because you end up basically with the blind leading the blind, you know.
Well, both of you guys have pointed out something that's really important, man. Even in your own friendship, you teach people how to treat you. And with that said, you teach your children how to treat one another. You know, if they're raised in a family of violence and hate and basic, just neglect, then chances are that's the way they're going to go off into this world. And so, you know, to change all the minds and hearts of all the evil people out there in the world, I don't know, you know, run up and give a villain a hug day or something like that. I don't see it happening, because the villain's just going to whack you. But somehow or another, nipping in the bud's going to have to start at the home, you know, the home front, by teaching your kids, you know. How else can we turn this boat around, you know, outside of...
Stop raising them in a violent environment, you know. Start teaching them how to negotiate and how to have win-win, you know, interactions with each other, and, you know, how to care about each other. Be around and actually, you know, show them what it's like to care about other people and whatnot, so they can develop those abilities instead of having them suppressed from them.
Yeah, well, the race. There's a huge thing over here in Australia where, like, and I dare say you've got the same over there in the States, where in most families both parents are forced to work because of financial situations.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, dad or mum will have a second job. So you've got a child that hardly sees one parent, you know, spends before and after school in daycare because, you know, mum or dad's coming to and fro work when it's time to take them to school and that, you know. And then you've got the other parent who the kid literally never sees, you know, because they're working two jobs.
This is the thing, and what you're talking about, it only takes 20 hours a week of leaving your child with a stranger when they're very young like that to create the exact same effect in a child's mind if you just totally abandon them.
Yeah.
Just leave them sitting on the street corner and walk off. That same psychological damage is done to those children that are left, say, in daycare and whatnot.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Well, you know something? You guys, everybody here is familiar with the term nanny state, man. I don't want the state raising my child. I don't want the state anywhere near my child, because if you look at what the governments of this world have done to other people of other nations, I mean, they're going over there bombing up supposed terrorist guys, and in the process killing off women, men, women, and children alike, and destroying infrastructures, bombing people back into third world status or worse. And so I'm going to want them to tell me what's right with my child, how to raise my child? I don't think so.
They can't balance their own budget, so why would you let them even touch your funds too?
Yeah.
I would not ask permission from my parents to do anything at my age. So I'm sure as hell I'm not gonna ask someone who has imposed themselves into a position of power by their own whim for permission to do anything at all either. So, you know, I mean, until I became part of the family structure in this house here in Roxby, I didn't have a license till I was like 28, 29, because I just didn't care. I've been driving. I've been driving since I was like 13. I didn't give a shit. I was just driving.
Ah!
My bad.
I was slow on the draw.
That was me.
All right, well,
but, you know, that is a huge thing for people to consider. You know, if you wouldn't ask your parents for permission to do what you want to do, why are you asking someone who has basically forced themselves into a position by, you know, confusing you and tricking you and saying, you know, like as our intro for the show beautifully points out, a moistened bink throws him a scimitar. You know, he started, King Arthur started running around just one day and going, hey, you know what, see this sword? Some crazy spirit chick threw it at me in a lake, man, and said, I'm going to rule this whole land. You've got to follow me. Do that today. Walk down the main street with a sword in your hand and say that some, you know, spirit gave you it. And see what happens. Ken, mate, you have to mute yourself, buddy. We've got a lot of noise coming through you.
You'll get tased, shot, beat up, mugged, jailed, and survivors will be prosecuted.
Exactly. But you see my point. That's an insane act. That would get you locked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, somehow or another,
same thing going on with our financial system too. I mean, we need to stop participating in this system at all.
Yep.
You know, they come along and they basically put a bunch of extra money out there, making the money you have worth less and less. And then they turn around and say, "Well, we're going to raise the minimum wage so you can afford to live, because you'll get enough money." And they pat themselves on the back like they're the big heroes, when here they're just fixing temporarily with a Band-Aid what they did, with the damage they did. And it continues to go on, so that Band-Aid being on there isn't like being on a cut. It's like throwing a Band-Aid on some gangrene and expecting that to heal it.
Well, somehow or another, we've come to the point in our lives as humans that we would allow madmen and women to actually rule our society. And, you know, until it gets to the point where it's actually on everybody's doorstep, I don't see too much changing, because the average Joe, you know, I've even said it myself, the world is in such a mess, how can one guy fix it, you know? But you got to change.
That's exactly the thing. You hear that saying where they said, you know, when they came for the black guy down the street, I said nothing. When they came for the Jew next door, I said nothing. When they came for the Indians that were, you know, living around the corner, I said nothing. When they came for me, there was no one to stand up for me. They were all gone.
Well, I believe that the Knights of the Round Table would stand up for all of those individuals. You know, all those
My
humans.
Word, brother. My word.
That's the thing. You got to start standing up right now when they're not coming to your doorstep.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, there won't be anybody to help you whenever it comes time.
The first thing you got to do is get mad.
Yeah, and go out to the window and shout it out the window.
First thing you've got to do is get mad. Like you, and you do. You should be as upset as all heck. You should be ready to pull your hair out and punch someone in the face, because what is going on around you, what is happening in this world, is insane.
And now you see why mad. They put the mad in mad scientist.
Yep.
Oh no, they know why they.
I find it disheartening though, because here we are, and I know there's other groups out there, and I wish all these groups eventually, and I'm sure they will at some point in time, will merge together, and you know, do what it is that we're all setting out to do. But while we're over here trying to put the positive pebbles in the pond, you've got some knuckleheads over on the other side trying to tear it back down. And so I find it disheartening, especially in the alternative energy community, that we have access to the most brilliant minds on the globe, literally. And yet we can't get either funding for certain things or, you know, support, whether, you know, it'd be something as simple as just a flood of people coming through chat rooms and such, you know, and reposting links. And could you imagine what would happen? You know, you see a video out there on YouTube, it goes viral. I mean, it might be the craziest, stupid video, you know. Some cat with a crooked eye running into the wall will get a billion views, you know, and everybody, ha ha, it's so cute and funny and everything. But on the serious issues, such as the ones that we are mentioning right here, they're not going viral. You know, people are like, it's out of sight, out of mind. If it's not in my backyard, then I'm not going to worry about it kind of mentality. And somehow or another, we've got to change
it's
that.
It's even worse than that, dude. It's more like a peekaboo thing. If I cover my eyes to it, then it doesn't exist.
That's
even
the
if
one.
It is in my
that's
backyard.
The one.
You know? Well, that's why there's a viral video goes viral, because they're using that to ignore the stuff that actually matters. You know?
Well, and that's
but
what.
Hang on. I just pulled up some figures for you, Shaziz, just to give the listeners a really good insight here. Okay. A Justin Bieber track gets 91.5 million hits.
Man.
My video on the explanation of how the Atmo motor works, the motor that will run from energy out of the sky, has 616 views.
Man.
So there's your priority world, and that is why you don't have free energy. Like, I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Well, I agree. You know, we...
You're listening
instead
to
of free energy, Bieber. You've got Honey Boo Boo.
I honestly believe, guys and gals, I honestly believe that we are on the edge, that we have every bit, every single piece of the puzzle, and together we could literally solve the energy crisis overnight. I honestly believe that. Because after listening,
it's down to 1% of the people who care saving the other 99% again. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And although, while I'm reading out numbers, I will admit that my videos where I yell and scream and swear a lot at the fraudsters of the free energy world, they get a lot more hits. I got about 6.5 to 10 grand.
And I was listening to one of your videos last night. It was a test video, and there were some things going on in there. Here, hold on a second. Why, you foul mouth heathen?
Have you ever noticed that there's an MA rating warning on the intro of my videos? It's well, there for a reason, Shazzy.
I didn't read, I'm sorry.
Can't handle it.
I didn't read the label, but that's what was going on in my mind whenever I heard that. Why, you foul mouth heathen? Anyway, seriously, though.
You know I'm a foul mouth heathen. That'd be a house.
All right, but
I think I tortures is a couple of new words.
Just remember, we might have children. We might have children ears in the general vicinity of a speaker system, so we want to be cautious. But anyway, you know, it's when I looked into that video, when Thomas said the deal about the whole peekaboo thing, you know, and not people not willing to look in on the evil, I really seriously wish, and I think I told you, Cultus, whenever I sent you the link to that, I said, just trust me and do not watch this video because it's that bad.
And yeah, but you know what? The unfortunate thing is mature people need to watch those videos.
Well,
they need to understand that that is what is going on, because turning a blind eye to it, even just a video, turning a blind eye to it, I'm not watching that because I don't want to see it, is exactly what we're talking about.
And that's my
point.
You don't
want to be so disturbed and have nightmares.
No, well, but you need to be informed. And you can't be informed without knowledge, without actually seeing.
That's my point. Because I care about what we're doing here so much, I forced myself to watch this video, and to some extent, I regret it, but to the others, I know that that makes my cause that much more just, that we've got to turn this ship around before it's on our doorstep. I mean, literally, over here in the United States, our borders are wide open. We don't know who all's coming through there or why, and it shouldn't just be America that we're talking about. It's all nations. These things are going on in all nations. There's persecution of all different sorts going all over the world.
Right. Australia passed a law the other day that banned our media from speaking about troubles in I think it was Indonesia, maybe one of the outer lying islands up towards the northwest. They passed a legislation that basically was a gag order to the Australian press, and that's it. There's no media.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cultus, honestly, I honestly believe this. If that video had been played on mainstream media, the conversation that we're having right now wouldn't even be an issue, because people would be on the horn to everybody and his brother trying to get something resolved. It would actually literally take a hit like that on TV, a nationwide TV, uncensored, to see what I saw, the pure evil, with my own two eyes. And I'm telling you, I know a lot of things. I know that that was a real video. There was no trickery involved, and
well,
bear
with me just for a moment here. I've got a thought, all right? And I'm inciting something. So you guys just stay out of this if you feel the need to, right? A couple of years ago, there was a hacker group who got into a local TV network and basically played a mock-up video of a outbreak warning for zombies, right, in the local area, right, and people were freaked out. You know, it was kind of like an Orson Welles thing. You know? People were a little freaked out. Now, why don't people like that who have those abilities? You know, I mean, we've got Anonymous and groups like that out there who do focus on this exactly. Why don't we gather up some video and just accidentally play it on telly at 10 o'clock at night one night? Show the world.
Well, you know, if the world really saw, see, this is what I keep saying, you know, as a world family, we don't come together at the table until there's a tragedy, and that happens in families as well, and it's a shame that it takes a tragedy to bring a family together because of all the time and love and things lost, wasted, you know. I mean, time slips away really quick. You never know from one time to the next, and this is why I treat everybody the best I possibly can while they're in my presence, because I may never see them again. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, it comes from the heart, and so, you know, like, nobody gets in old Shaziz's house without a hug or leaves without one, because it may be the last time I ever see that individual again, you know. That's the way I live my life, and I just wish that that would resonate across the world and other people would see the importance of it, you know. But if it takes a tragedy, if it takes pointing out to the world, I mean, imagine the sudden wake-up of all the bubble people whenever they sat down and turned the TV on, and this was on every single channel, and they tried to change the channel because it's so horrifying, and there it is again, you know? That is that the wake-up call that it would take to send a massive ripple across the land to get people off their couch and motivated to helping one another out, you know?
Do you know what's really sad? Is maybe it even won't then.
Yeah, and that kind of disturbs me as well, because some folks with the sickened heart and desensitized, I can't even say the word.
Well, they're gonna do what Tom explained before. You know, when they come and got the Muslim guy down the street, I'll let them do it. You know, when they come and got the Jews, I ignored that too. And you know, I'll let them get the Indian blokes, and they're gone now too. And now they're coming for me. There's no one left.
There are individuals out there who would literally laugh when they saw something like that. You know.
Like, there is. I mean, there's some real nasty, racist people out there who would, like, you know, stand in the street and go, yeah, take that packy bastard away, you know? Like, dude, seriously, like, that's a fellow human being. He bleeds the same colour as you. He bleeds the same, he breathes the same oxygen as you. He is effectively no different of a human being than you. So why does it make it okay that this is happening to him? And when it's going to happen to you, you're going to bitch about it. Because, quite honestly, that's just... What's the word I'm looking for? Narcissistic.
You know what? If I could build a ship big enough to take us off to a different planet, just the individuals of like mind that want a decent world, you know, we'd leave all the corruption behind, and we'd go out and start our own world with our own free energy and all that kind of stuff without any kind of... That's the ultimate dream. But since we're in the here and now, and we have to live on this rock with the rest of the knuckleheads that are being... you know, stupid or whatever, no common sense, we got to try to keep doing what it is we're doing. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, I agree 100%. Just remember that each individual person has the power to change the world. And I emphasize the world, because, you know, I can go out there, I can go out there and try and save every single person at once, and that's a pretty damn daunting task, you know. But if I go out and I change one person's world, then I have changed the world, their world. They refer to it as the world. It's theirs. You know, and if we, and this is the pay it forward, all right, movement that's going on. And everyone should be aware of this, and everyone should actively work on it. Because the idea being is that I, you know, say, hypothetically and well off, I walk up, I find three people in my life who I know that there's something I can do for them. It doesn't have to be, you know, monetary, but there is effectively something I can do for each of those three individuals to profoundly change their life. We're talking profoundly. So in a major way, I'm going to turn their life around for the good. And, you know, their life is never going to be as bad as it was this day when they met me. And I do that on the proviso that I say to them, you're not going to pay me back for this. What you're going to do is, when you are right on your feet, you will find three people to do this for, as I have just done. Now, they are then to pass that message on to those three people. Now, you do the calculations in your mind, just you know, briefly, of how that works out. Eventually, everybody is just helping everybody. No one wants or needs for anything, because everybody has what they need.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you might think that's a totally crazy idea and it sounds stupid, but I don't. I think that's like...
I think it's a brilliant idea. The greatest thing in the world. We got some, we got some other folks around the table that haven't been on here before. Let's see if we got anything they want to throw in here with that.
Yeah, sure.
Who else do we got in here?
We have Steve, Grant, and Ken are our new knights for the evening. So either of you three boys, welcome to just jump on in and have a say. It's a bit of a pushing competition.
Yeah, don't jump to the mic at once. You might chip a tooth.
Yeah.
Nobody? You got to unmute your mic.
Oh, no, you guys, I'm fine. You guys just carry on.
All right.
Well, what's your thoughts on this deal?
What, about changing the world?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I can't change the world. I know that. I can only change the people that I come where I can change the world for maybe the people I come in contact with. That's it.
Yeah, well, that's the key. Right there.
That's
changing
the world, though. That's the thing, yeah. The world starts right, you know, right outside of you. I mean, you're a part of it and you're inside of it, but I mean, as far as changing the things that are around you, that's changing the world, because that's part of it, you know?
So. And paying it forward, I love that idea. It would certainly make a change.
Yep.
I think we have to start with children.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, totally, yes. Totally. I mean,
right.
you're another Aussie, mate. You know, did your dad grow up saying, black bastard?
No.
I'm
like many people in Australia, I came as an immigrant from Italy.
Italy? Oh, I thought I almost heard a bit of a New Zealand accent then.
I was born in Rome.
You were born in Rome? Crikey. You've got all kinds of mixed up in there, haven't you? All right, okay, that kind of didn't go exactly the way I wanted it, but see, in Australia here, we have grown up in a very heavily racial country. We're a multicultural country. But because of that, there's been a lot of instilled racism. Like, Italians, when they first started coming over here, coined as wogs constantly.
Oh, absolutely. Wogs. And I can attest for that.
All right, there we go.
Because subject.
All right, well, here we go. Explain what it's like to be a man from another country in Australia. I don't want to say wog, but it's in the blood, and I hate it. This is the biggest problem, is we grow up hearing these things from our parents, and it's so hard to just let go. So yeah, man, tell us, what was it like growing up in Australia?
Well, I came as a child of 9 years old, not knowing one word of English. My only means of communication was my two fists in a boys' school. So it didn't start well. But, you know, it got better as I learned English.
Yeah. But how were you with, like racism? How did you, like, deal with that? Or how did you go, like... Because I'm sure you dealt with it.
Absolutely. And walking around my city at the time, which was Launceston in Tasmania... Yes, the attitudes there were even more reserved towards, you know, Italians, and just walking on the street, I could be attacked for sure.
Yep. Yeah, you should have just pointed out the scar on the neck and said, "Yeah, you're a local." For those of you who didn't understand that, it's a common myth that Tasmanians are all born with two heads.
Man. Anyway, that's a. You know, nobody should have to go through that kind of stuff, but it's out there in the world, man, and to turn a blind eye...
We do it between states. I just realized, we do it between states.
To turn a blind
eye... Tasmania is a state. It's off the mainland, but it is a state of Australia. And we pick on all the different states.
They do it here, too. I mean, you know, Adelaide. You're talking about inbred people from Arkansas...
That's yours, yeah. In America, you've got the, you know, the redneck counties, you know. Well, heck, man, I met some rednecks when I was over there. They're pretty cool, man. They give me some boon goon, and I was right.
My grandfather was mayor of Milton, Florida. It's bordered by a river. There's a sidewalk on the riverside, and across the street from that is where the buildings, the stores, start. In his time, the blacks had to stay on that sidewalk across the street until they were going to a specific store. At that point, they could cross the street and go into the store where they had blacks only for men and women restroom and blacks only drinking fountains.
Yep.
There was also what they call the Blue River Ordinance in effect. Which simply said that solicitors and black people could be legally shot after sundown.
Man,
wow! And Larry, did you grow up in a and I do not mean this disrespectively, but did you grow up in a family of racists?
Oh, absolutely.
And do you still find it hard now to turn that off in yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. It sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, I find at this point, finally, I have dislike for individuals, not dislike for races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dead right. That's something I try to concentrate on, and like, you know, is that sure, you're going to come across idiots no matter what the race, no matter what the country, no matter what the group of people. You always, the old saying, there's one in every crowd. They're saying there's one idiot in every group, you know, so that's always going
to
happen.
Most of them seem to be, you know, but sitting the plethora of them now, too.
But it's
more like, you know, there's one in every group, meaning the person who has the common sense, you know.
Well,
because of the way our system is built, it's basically stealing that from people.
Well, think about all that we've just talked about there for a second. You know, a lot of folks think that there's no evil in the world. There's no good or bad. But I don't see their way of thinking on that whole deal. I think that anything so much as pushing hate towards somebody just because they're a different color, that's pure evil, man. I mean, we're all, like Coltis said it best when he said everybody bleeds the same color, you know. And so, here we are in the year 2014, you know, we should be at a whole different stage of enlightenment as far as I'm concerned in humanity. We should be so much further advanced technologically. But yet we've got government organizations out there that continuously stir the pot of hatred and racism and death and destruction on a daily basis. And I'm not hearing this come from the average Joe, with exception of the, you know, like the racist jokes and stuff like that. I hear that kind of stuff, but I don't participate in it because I don't believe in it. But either way, the people at the bottom, you know, I keep going back to this one video that I saw called The Dots. Does anybody remember that video?
No.
Well, there's like just a tiny bit of dots that are ruling over a whole lot of dots. And the whole lot of dots are following these leaders, these so-called leaders, and even though they don't agree with them, they still follow them.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so the average Jew out there needs to understand their true power, the power of the spoken word, the power of their pen, the power of the actions. They need to stand up and they need to exercise that power, because we should be so much further advanced right now, and there are atrocities going on in the world. There is pure evil in this world, and we need to stand up against it. Otherwise, the desensitized. Yeah. The desensitized world that we're living in today, imagine if you go back and you look at the way that things were, let's say, back in the 50s or 60s, you know, where they still said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. There were still problems back there, don't get me wrong. But the things that were said on TV and the radio back then, as opposed to what are said on TV and radio today, are apples and oranges, like pure night and day. And imagine if it's this bad now, what's it going to be like 10 or 20 years down the line if humanity even makes it that far? I mean, we're sitting on the precipice of World War III, for Pete's sake.
I think a huge...
I don't even know if we're going to get to World War III.
I don't want to get too far away from where I started on this, because I think it's a huge important thing for people to actually acknowledge in themselves, is that racism is instilled in all of us. And as much as we all try to work at it, unfortunately, that little seed sits in there and it keeps trying to grow. No matter what, it keeps trying to grow. You know, you have to understand that racism, in its purest form, is a taught. You know, it's not something that you're born with. You're not born to hate someone of a different color. You're taught to hate someone of a different color. And then trying to break away from that cycle is exceptionally hard. And I do believe that if all of our listeners look deep inside themselves, and they don't have to come forward about it, that would be being silly. You know, you don't have to openly admit it.
Well, I got the perfect example, Coltis.
Acknowledge it so that you can work on it. Because until you acknowledge that there's a problem, until you can actually turn around to yourself and say, crap, you know what?
I've got the perfect example. The perfect example. Everybody knows me at my heart. If you don't know my heart by now, then then call me up on Skype. We'll have a talk. But either way,
and he'll cry at you because he'll feel that he's offended you in some way, and then I'll spend 3 days trying to get him out of the slum. So don't do that.
Anyway, listen. With this border thing going on right now, all right, everybody knows my heart. I don't hate nobody. But whenever I'm walking around, I found myself the thought at least running through my head that every time that I see a group of Mexicans in a store, it's like I'm thinking illegal alien. There is no illegal aliens. We're all humans, and we should be able to go across borders without all the red tape and all that kind of stuff. That would be a perfect world. But the fact that even in my mind, I have to this thought, and I'll shove that thought off out of my head because I don't like that kind of thinking. But after listening to all the alternative media and all the mainstream media, that seed, like you was talking about, was even planted in my head, and it's still there, and makes me look at somebody slightly different than I normally, because normally they could have been in the same room with me. I wouldn't even notice that, outside the fact that there's other humans in the room with me. But the fact that my radar
test to learn one sec, the greatest test to learn that you're only human, try to walk around all day and not judge a single person.
Yeah, I understand.
But you can't do it.
But that's
let's go back to that racism thing though, man. This is something that I wanted to say something earlier, but I want to let everybody finish saying what they're saying. There is a racism that is unspoken right now. People aren't even aware that they're racist toward these people, and that's your children. How many people think your children owe you something because you put a roof over their head?
Oh, that's why I haven't had any yet, dude.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing, though. Somebody owes you something. You have to basically have a contract with them in order to have that owed to you. What child signed a contract before they were born?
Do you know, though, let me
finish this, okay? And then we'll go to that, okay? If you want your children to respect you, be a respectful person.
Yep.
And this is exactly what I'm going to go on for, mate.
The reason we have the problems with the people running the country the way they are right now, and people letting them do it, is because they were taught to respect people who were not totally respectful.
Yeah.
They were taught to respect people who beat them, who terrorized them, who scared them on a daily basis, who told them no just because they were annoyed and didn't want to deal with them.
Now,
this is what children deal with every day from the day they're born. 7-month-old babies being hit 2-3 times a week.
I'm thinking here, and I'm not saying that I don't know anyone outside of this category who fits the bill you're talking about. All right, I'm really not. I'm really just struggling to think of one. The only people that have been in my life who fit that category are people who have either had a baby because, like, when they were young, because the handouts here in Australia back in the day were absolutely awesome. You know, $6,000 for having a baby when you're 15 seems like a real good deal. And thus, you know, ruin their life, and this kid owes them. And the only others that I can think of are those who have been on long-term welfare in the first place. So, and as I said, I'm not saying that people outside of those categories aren't guilty of what you're referring to, but I kind of analyse things, and that's where I find the correlation here. Is it situations where either the life has been ruined by having a child, FYI, you shouldn't have had a damn kid yet, right? Or those who have had a life where they've felt like the world has owed them in the first place, and having a kid, well, that's just a slave, so they owe me too, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, though. It doesn't even matter with it being that extreme. Even in families where basically they purposefully plan to have those children and everything, they still get this attitude like, you know, I put the food on your table, on the table, you owe me. You owe me. Well, unless that child, after they were born, said, hey, I agree to owe you for doing this or doing that for me,
You don't even have the right to hold that over them. So you should give them the very best of everything you can give them. Don't be annoyed when they come in. Yes, exactly. Don't be annoyed when they come to talk to you because they have questions or something while you're trying to watch TV, and you know, yell at them and scream at them and you know, beat them because they keep asking why. Teach them.
Yeah.
Their minds are the most hungry at that point. Fill them with as much knowledge as you can possibly give them to give them the best future.
If you're more interested in MMORPGs, as in massively multiplayer online role-playing games.
Or WWF, for those who don't play games.
Right, okay. Yep, right. If that's the major pastime over there. If that's more enjoyable to you than the idea of, say, changing a crappy diaper, which you know, let's be fair, you know, it does kind of sound like a good idea, but when you associate everything that comes along with taking care of a baby, changing a crappy diaper is really not that bad. You know, if you love your children properly, you're not going to care that they've got a crappy diaper. Mums don't smell their babies.
Kids, when children are born, they look up at the adults around there, and they're at the mercy of that adult to you know, be taken care of and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, like you were saying earlier, there nobody's born a racist. You can go out to any playground and you'll see the little white boy playing with the little black boy and so on, you know, and having a good old time. And it ain't until that boy gets older and the father says, don't hang out with that kid because, or whatever, that starts that trend that eventually ends up down to where we are today, where, you know, racial prejudices, religious prejudices, there's so many different...
Or they watch other people of that other race that have already grown up with that being beat into them, reacting to it, and they assume that everyone's like that instead of it being a learned trait.
And it's not just that either, because your kids, I think I can't remember who said it earlier, were about the two parents going out, I think it was Coltus said it, about the two parents going out working, and then you're shipping your kids off to basically a government indoctrination center, as far as I'm concerned, and they're learning from other children the lifestyles that those other children were raised by. You see what I'm saying? So there's where the positive pebble thing comes in, you know?
And as soon as you're dropping your kid off at the childcare center, because, you know, and there is, I don't know how it goes in the States, there's a lot of parents who do this here in Australia, parents on welfare, who are being paid to stay home and take care of their kids, their government incentives to go drop their kids off at the childcare center, you know, three or four times a week for a day. You know, so, you know, when you've got those kind of people dropping their kids off at childcare centres, you know damn well that there is no discussion happening between the parents and the people taking care of the child. Keeping up with the rules between the two places.
Yeah.
Consistency. There's no consistency in the rules. You know, the kid goes to childcare, is allowed to do this and that, but not allowed to do that and this. The kid goes home, he's allowed to do that and this, but he's not allowed to do this and that. Yeah, it's, for the child, absolutely mind-boggling.
Well,
you know? And it starts arguments, it starts tension, and, you know, the kid's like, well, screw you, I'm allowed to do that here. I'm allowed to do that there.
Anybody who wants to kind of get a beginning dig in to learn about, you know, the problems with child raising today and how to basically maybe... Some positive solutions to correct that should definitely head over to Free Domain Radio.
I'm going to upset every single, well, not every single, but I'm going to upset a lot of parents right this second. It's really easy to bring up good children. Really easy. Love them and give them attention, you numbnuts.
You know, with all that said, you know, and knowing that...
Sorry, Mommy.
With all that said, knowing that everything to make this world a better place starts with you, the individual, and you at home, I still believe that, you know, that it's not, even though the world is as messed up as it is, I still believe that it is not beyond repair. You know, it's about, you know, when you're going down a really bumpy road, and you look over and there's a smooth road, and you make that conscious choice to get off that bumpy road and start running down that smooth road, your destiny is going to change from that point on. And it's the same thing with all of humanity. We can literally change the road that we're on. It's a choice. Do we stay on this same road?
I feel bad about something now. I've got to jump in. Sorry, mate. I've really got to jump in. The name-calling bit was unfair in that alley. You're dead right. But you know what? Totally and 100% subconsciously, I just did it because I was upset with those people. You know, that's exactly what we've just been talking about here, about the racism thing, that some stuff is just so deeply programmed in you. I'm taught to attack that which I don't understand. But the first thought that came to my mind after I said, you know, what are you, my mum, was, you never understand how a person got to where they are today. So be kind.
Yeah.
And the thought behind that is that you have no idea what heartache and what crap someone has gone through in their life that has put them on the street, or the abuse that they copped at home, and hence why they, you know, find it difficult now to be a good parent, because they didn't grow up in a house with good parents to learn from. How the heck are you meant to understand how to be a good parent when you've been, you know, brought up like, you know, something that belongs on the bottom of somebody's shoe? You can't.
And that one
there is a way around that, though. It's called self-knowledge and philosophy.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but you've already been beaten. Hang on, Thomas. Hold on, though, Thomas. Hold on. That's okay for someone who's half stable, who wants to go out and learn about that stuff. But someone who's already totally messed up, do you think they're even thinking about that, dude? Or do you think they're worried about the next paycheck so that they can keep the food in the... Hang on. So they can keep food in baby's belly so that social welfare doesn't come around and take their kids off them. You know?
Right.
Once your life is down in a hole and screwed... Hang on. Once your life... Hold up. Once your life is down in a hole and you're screwed, right? It is so difficult to get out of there, man.
Let's not make excuses. Let's make solutions.
I'm not making excuses for them. I'm
getting
to the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that once you are beaten down to a pulp and you believe that you're a piece of crap and you deserve nothing better than what you already have in your life, you're not going to try and help yourself.
The fix is in on this whole deal here. When you think seriously about your own personal actions, that individual that, like you said, you don't know what kind of life that they've had to suffer through. So that little bit of negativity that you threw out because either they cut you off in traffic, or B, you know, they cut you off in line at the grocery store or whatever, and then you call them a dirty, no good for nothing or whatever, or try to pick a fight with them, that could be the very last straw that puts them over that edge that destroys that life. And in my view, anytime you destroy a life, you just robbed humanity of something spectacular, something wonderful that, you know, that could have been the next cure for the major disease, or the next major discovery, or the person that maybe a year down the line would pull you out of a ditch when you rolled your car or something like that. People don't understand how small this world really is whenever you look at the basics of it all. You know, every individual out here that we affect, look how much the Knights of the Round Table has grown since we started this idea. You know, it was about, after I sat around and I listened to all the different negativity that was going on in the world and all the talk about solutions and stuff like that, I come up with this idea about putting a table together like the Knights of the Round Table so that people could come here and we could literally seek and enact the solutions together, because we all agree, you know, of what's going on. Now, what are we going to do about it? That's the question. And the answer is as simple as what you do on your daily basis out there to affect other. You could either choose to do something negative to them and make their day just a hair bit better, which might save them from going over that edge, or you could throw that bit of negativity out there and just pile a little bit more on their back until the last straw breaks the camel's back and then Katie bars the door. Who knows what they're going to do from there on. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And this is where the difference between wisdom and lack of common sense comes in, man. You know, that I said this on a prior show about the, there's two little Palestinian girls over there, and this man was talking to these two little Palestinian girls, and he asked them, do you want peace with Israel? And then they said, well, no, we don't never want peace with Israel because they killed our parents. Well, do you see what just happened there? The chain, it hasn't been broken at some point. Whether it be forgiveness in those two little girls' hearts where they come to an enlightenment and see that, you know, if I go over there and retaliate, they're just going to retaliate and this will never stop. It's the whole story of the Hatfield and McCoys. It just never ends. And somehow or another, we've got to instill this thought into people's mind of how powerful their actions really are. You know, if you go over there, you drop a bomb on the bad guy, and in the process of killing the bad guy, you kill about 20 or 30 or more innocents. Now these innocents' family have a grudge against you, and it never ends. It's a continuous cycle of hatred. Look at the war that has been raging on in the Middle East for at least thousands of years, man. These guys can't get along because they disagree on something as simple as who's the true God, who's the true religion, and so on down the line. You know? And so they have distorted what would normally have been maybe a peaceful religion into something that would go out and literally start chopping the heads off of children. That's pure evil, man. How do you go from love to chopping heads off of children? I don't get it.
You don't. You don't. There's something. It's like Darwin's theory of evolution. There's a bone missing, man. There's something missing. You know, you just don't do that. You just don't turn around one day and wake up and decide, you know what, I think I'll go out and, you know, slay a few thousand children and their mothers. Why not?
Well, see, I'm going to say something pretty profound, I think. The true leaders, and I said this in the dream that Kent Anderson read out for. It's in the dream. The true leaders of this world are you and I. Each and every one of us here at this table and all the listeners out there are the true leaders of this world. These suits that we got up in our nifty White Houses and Congresses and Parliaments and stuff like that, those are not the true leaders. Those are the guys that we just allow to run amok, waste all our money, and do all the evil deeds in the world, wars and all that kind of stuff. And the financial institutions, the industrial military complex, you know, running around, spending our money, killing people, taking away our rights and freedoms and sovereignty and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter, the true leaders are each and every individual out there leading your life by example, making the next guys it's the pay it forward, cultists. You said it. It's the pay it forward. If I treat three people decent and they go out and treat three more people decent and so on down the line, do you see where that one ripple eventually turns into a tsunami of love that crosses all borders?
Exactly right. That's it. You know, I mean, really, really try to imagine that, you know, it starts with one person who helps three people with the instructions that when they can, they are to help three more people each, and so on and so forth. Now, just off those numbers, like the three of three, you know, just start to imagine that pyramid. You know, it's like the world's greatest pyramid scheme.
Well, see, you know, that's a pyramid scheme I would fully back. You know?
Light pyramid schemes are illegal. But
well, hey, we're not asking the government for permission to share
exactly.
Love with the world.
Why would you ask for permission to go to mom and dad and ask if you could invest in a pyramid scheme?
Hey,
no, you wouldn't.
The
you
day,
make your own mind up and do what you were going to do. You say, do what you would do.
The day
be
that
a
they
human
make...
being, be a loving, caring person. Do what you just do. Normally,
the day,
what is the right thing to do? What do they say? Sometimes the right thing isn't the most comfortable thing to be doing at the time, but it's still the right damn thing to be doing.
Well, the day they make illegal, the day they make love illegal, I'm going to jail. You know,
God,
and I'm sure it's going to be pretty crowded there because the average
Joe. Sure I'm getting
up. I'm gonna be on house arrest.
And on that note, I think we should take a stop break, my brother.
All right, let's do that because my coffee's getting cold. So everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you're getting some positive information out of this deal. We're going to take a song break, and I got to play this song, man. You guys already know what it is, I'm sure. Now that wasn't...
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive, hoping
is no unnatural kind. As a pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. Everybody will be dancing to the beat on the floor. Human encounter situations never thought of before. Satisfaction guaranteed, if you know what I mean. And when you walk into the door, it's such a freaky scene. And what did I see? No girls were wearing leather skirts and see-through jeans. I asked the DJ to tell me what was going on. He said, "Please stop having a free that fun." Looking in the house tonight, know your body from left to right. Come on, you get fun from the rock. A free that fun. Looking in the house tonight, know your body from left to right. Come on, you get fun from the rock. A free that fun. In the house and we'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby, and I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind. And the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind. I'm in the house tonight, move that body from left to right. So all you fresh bucks off the rock will blow your mind. I'm in the house tonight, move that body from left to right. The pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind.
Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've had a pretty fascinating discussion, as usual, about all different subjects and things going on in the world. I find my strength through my faith and my peace and love in my heart, and that's about the best that I can do with the bad situation that we find ourselves in. And so, with that said, all the things that are going on in this world, we already know about all the negativity, and sometimes, unfortunately, we have to point it out and talk about such things. But to try to balance the level out, we need to also remember that it's not beyond hope and that there are people out there working on all kinds of different things, such as in the alternative energy community, you know, what I classify as free energy devices, considering the fact that we are surrounded in a sea of energy. Then I'm a firm believer that without a shadow of a doubt, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will prove energy's free. And so with that said, there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of research in a lot of different directions, a lot of brilliant minds coming to the table with all kinds of solutions. And these solutions are only going to be as good as you're, and go as far as you're willing to carry them. If you're willing to back your local mad science guy to bring these solutions to the table, or help any researcher out there in any way that you can, whether it be just spreading their video on social media. You know, I look out here and I see some of my friends out there. I don't know where Ryan Abram is today, but I watched a man as a true artist in his work when he builds his coils and stuff like that, and his love for alternative energy and Tesla and humanity and stuff like that. I mean, he's just a spectacular individual as far as I'm concerned. He's a great addition to the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science crew and so on and so forth. But some of the things that he's showing are possible in there are things that other people would scoff at and say aren't possible. We all know the truth. But if you believe in Ryan's videos, put a link out there on your Google Plus or your YouTube or anywhere. Support these guys by showing other people that there are solutions that are being worked on, that there are pieces of the puzzle that, together with your research, could seriously benefit all of humanity. And that's what the whole deal is all about. You know, if you care, if you have any love in your heart for humanity, and you want your children and your children's children to live in a world better than the one that we've had to contend with, then it all going to start with you. You know, get up off the couch and you know, be proactive in your life, is going out and helping your neighbor out instead of calling the law on them because their grass is too tall. Go out there and ask them if they need a hand, or just volunteer some help somewhere. You know, go out and feed the homeless. Try to help somebody on a daily basis if you can. And if you don't have financial capabilities or even enough strength in your heart to do anything more than smile, throw a smile out there, because smiles are like catchy like the plague. I threw a video, not a video, but a picture around to some of the mad science crew of an idea that I was tinkering with yesterday. And if you're in the alternative energy community, you know what a corona motor is, or a static motor, or like cultists work on, the atmospheric motor. Well, I drew up a crude design of a hydraulic static corona motor. I was sitting around with a negative ion generator, and was checking out when the negative ions are getting out there, it actually creates a wind pressure. And so you can actually feel wind blowing in the general vicinity where this little ion generator is. I bought it off of eBay for like less than $5, and it had free shipping, so you know, I only spent less than $5 to get this little negative ion generator. Well, as I was tinkering around with this, trying different things, I made a little star-shaped deal, and had it floating on top of the water, and I was using the ions from that to actually cause that thing to spin inside there, which got me to thinking even more, because if you've ever done any research on the Tesla turbine, you take these two flat discs and you blow air through these two flat discs, and they actually create a drag on the flat surfaces that gets that turbine to spinning faster than it would be if it actually had blades on it. So it's pretty impressive. If you haven't checked into the Tesla turbine, look at it. But taking that in consideration with the corona motor and everything that we've talked about with all these different atmospheric motors, the Wimshurst machine, the Van de Graaff generator, plasma technology, I literally believe that it's possible to build a hydraulic pressure up using a either a negative ion or even high voltage itself in order to get the water to spinning at such a rate that it would create centrifugal force and act just like the torque converter in the average automatic transmission of all your vehicles that you drive around in each day. And so I put this crude design out there so that other folks could actually do a little bit of testing and see what you know, what they thought of the idea, because every little piece of the puzzle put together in conjunction with one another, if you can imagine the Van de Graaff generator and the Wimshurst generator and a plasma drive, ion drive, corona motors, static motors, atmospheric motors, all of these combined into one unit, you could literally build a machine that would have some serious torque that would run off of strictly voltage alone and the energy that is being created by the coronal effect around the Tesla coil. If you ever been working with Tesla coils or even energized a bulb, you can actually feel a pressure as you get your hand in the general vicinity of it. You can feel pressure of that energy, and this is the type of energy that I feel that could actually drive a piece of machinery that you could run off of strictly high voltage alone. And the atmospheric group that Coltis mentioned a while back, he said they were getting something like 2,000 volts of electricity out of the air off a couple 200-foot towers that had a wire stretch across there that had like carbon on there, nanocarbon on there, that was picking up this energy and bringing it down. And at the end of the deal, they had about 9,000 volts of electricity to contend with. Now, a system like that, you could work wonders with that. So what are your guys' thoughts on that particular drawing that I passed around there? Larry?
All right, well.
He went to sleep.
I didn't get the download, Shazoo, as I tried to, but you were off air by the time I saw him.
Well, it's sitting in this chat now, mate. Yeah. I'll throw it back in there. I'll chuck it in there again and I save it.
Well, what's your thoughts, Coltis?
Yeah, you missed it. Well, the only thing I first of all am wondering about, and we probably should have uploaded this somewhere where the listeners can actually take a look at it too, mate.
Yeah, but, we'll do that. We'll do that after the show.
In fact, before I ask my questions, because mine are a bit visual, I'll actually post it on the website real quick. So jump in, Larry. Ask what you were going to, and I'll work on this real quick.
Yeah, I like the points on it for gathering points. Does the driver wheel float on top of the corona motor?
It floats on top of the water itself. And as the thing is being energized, you can sit there and watch as it's spinning. There's actually a current that gets built up in that water, like a whirlpool or a vortex that's going on. And if you have the wires just in the right direction, what I'm trying to figure out is it the energy being transmitted to the aluminum, or the wind actually pushing off the edge of the aluminum that's floating on the water, or a combination of all of the above? But either way, you get motion while that's floating on top of that water. Now, if you take that same design and you make it a multi-layer using things like Thomas was talking about styrofoam being able to pick up a static charge. If you had a thin layer of styrofoam in between every piece of aluminum so that this thing could literally float, and keep in mind that it's being guided in the center by a, I don't know if I put it in the deal, but I have the capacitor connected to mine, and the metal rod coming off the capacitor was actually touching the bottom of the glass jar that, or the glass bowl that it was in. And so the wheel was spinning around that axle that would be in the center. It's not bolted solid. It just catches like the corona motors that you see in the videos. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's your electrode?
the you mean off of the ion generator itself?
Yeah.
Well, it's there's two high voltage outputs on this on the little ion generator that I got. It has a positive and a negative on there, and I found out that you take the negative side lead and connect it to your the shaft that would be in the middle, and then you don't
right,
actually.
Right, what's that shaft made out of?
It's just off of regular steel that's on the capacitor that I used. Yeah, so
and that shaft and the fluid goes all the way up to float your wheel on. Or
yeah, exactly.
Center of your wheel.
Yeah, and so that shaft is down in the water. The wheel is it goes through the center of the wheel. The wheel's floating on top of the water, and then the high voltage leads are just hanging just above the water, right at the edge of where the wheel is at. And so
when you charge that center post, are you getting hydrogen as well?
No, I don't think there's any hydrogen production. I think what's going on there is it's either creating an ion wind that's pushing that wheel around, or it's literally ionizing the water and causing the aluminum to react. It would be the equivalence of being in the air on top of your Tesla coil. But the key factor in this design is that it's actually on the water. The water's moving as well. It's not just the aluminum. The water itself is moving. And once you get water moving, you know, after a while, you know, if you get that water moving fast enough, the centrifugal force created by water creates hydraulic pressure that in turn gives you torque. And so there's the difference than the Corona motors that we were talking about prior to this. Now, if you took the video where the guy had the little neon tubes on each end of the same little design right there and had that plasma built up in there, he got some serious RPMs out of there. And so when I was testing this and it was actually working, I felt like it was worthy of doing further research, because if you can get hydraulic pressure from the centrifugal force of the water spinning around, then you can literally build a high voltage hydraulic clutch or a torque converter, so to speak. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Just quickly too, guys, I've updated the website. If people just hit a refresh on their browser, and don't forget to start the radio player again, which is now in the center of the screen for those who haven't reloaded since we started the program. Directly underneath the chat box is a current pick in discussion box. If you just click that, you'll
is it on the super chat room or the regular?
It's in not to the round table room where everyone should most likely be now anyway. So
well, I'm in the super chat because I got both chat rooms up at the same time.
This disc.
All right, well, I'll jump over there. Do-do-do-do-do. www.shazizradio.com, Knights of the Round Table. We'll go over there and check it out. Anyway, so when you look at this picture, what are you thinking there, Cultus?
Well, I just brought it up out of the base of this chat there. Well, I don't know.
It can be.
I think it has potential. I do. I just wonder if, by your design, I'm really not sure. To be honest, I'd like to see it firsthand, like normal. I want to put it in my hand and play with it. I don't know. I wonder if your negative ion generator wouldn't do better in a configuration basically wide in opposite to what it is.
My button ain't working, dude.
What's wrong with your button?
The one that you put.
I was having trouble. I don't know if it's maybe it doesn't work. It's showing that it's got the file there. It's in the button.
Anyway, you gotta look past the crudeness of the design and think about the potential of what's going on there. The hydraulic static corona motor, I've got the picture up now. But
You're trying to draw the negative eye. Like this is a little odd. You're trying to work with only the negative potential of your circuit, because remember it's a negative ion generator, and you're drawing off the ground side of the battery. So you're working with two forms of well, effectively speaking, are negative charges, but in comparison to each other, the output side of the negative ion generator would be a positive.
I was going to say the negative ion generator works by basically pumping negative ions into the air, and then they ground out naturally through the earth.
But you need two differences. What you're looking at here, though, you're considering is potential difference, where you're bringing your math for working out what you're actually playing with, because two negatives don't make a right.
Right.
There's a potential difference which actually makes one a positive. One has more electrons and wants to give them up to balance things out.
Well, so this could be expanded on. It doesn't have to be a negative ion generator. You could actually do the same thing the same way you would run a corona motor.
Scrap all together and go for it, bro.
Yeah, but either way, what's impressive about it is that the fact that it's not just the aluminum that's spinning, it's the water itself gets to spinning when you're doing this.
Right, yep.
Now, you know water's a dipole molecule. It has positive and a negative on there.
Did you see what Brad Atherton's been playing around with there with his magnets and border vortexes and whatnot?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So I would imagine that the right arrangement of magnets in there might actually increase that field. And the fact that you've actually got a little propeller there that's going to stir up the water, give it a bit of direction.
I'd actually like to have more of a look at Robert Murray Smith has been working with saltwater graphene batteries, and you're talking about working with negative ions and potential and whatnot. Well, he just basically made one and put it into aluminum chloride salt solution, water, and the movement of the water, the actual molecules in the water, even when it's sitting perfectly still, it's still moving around, was still generating a lot of power.
Yeah.
So, you know, for what it was, it was generating quite a bit of power. So,
and this thing, well, effectively runs on a little 9-volt battery. So,
well, and that's what I was running this off of as well.
May have a little bit of an interesting effect with this setup as well. I don't know. The mind boggles a little with this, because as I said, you're talking about, you know, you got a high voltage output of negative ions, but then you're also drawing off the negative side of the battery. So, you know, I mean,
well, like I said, my hurdle,
though, is figuring how that rotor is going to spin the way you want it. Because they're brushes you've got coming off the high voltage lines, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
and they don't, by the looks of the picture, come in contact with the rotor at any stage.
No.
It's right.
Now, I also put the brushes on the other side of the glass and was still able to get the motion of the. Of the water moving from the.
Did you do a video on this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I want you to do a video.
Yeah, I need to do a video.
Visualize it a bit easier.
Yeah, but either way, if you could use this in conjunction with all the other the plasma drive engine that we were talking about, Corona motor, and all this together, if you could get a section of that to work like the torque converter in your automatic transmission. Then now you're talking about some serious torque coming off of it. And I'm always saying that I believe you can get work out of voltage alone. If you can do this, you've literally got an engine that would run a generator head or whatever, you know. Automatic transmission, so they'll start off in the lowest gear and work their way up to the highest gear after the RPMs build up and so on because of that torque converter. And so you fire this thing up and start shifting gears until you get it up to speed, and there you go, man. You got work being created by high voltage alone.
See, there's a misconception there with when you explain to people with voltage alone. The voltage cannot be unaccompanied by
well, you understand what I'm saying. Amps,
but yeah, I understand, and I know exactly what you understand too. I just wanted to be clear for the listeners that we. Yeah, for anyone who's listening out there, you can't have volts without amps, but you can have a huge separation in the two. That, you know, you basically you're talking ridiculously small amounts of amps. That who cares?
Yeah,
you really want to calculate the amount of watts you've got in the system? Sure, you know, you're gonna have to go to that extent. But at the end of the day, we're discussing here, things like lighting up fluorescent tubes off frequency alone. You know, it's high voltage, high frequency that excites, the atoms of the gases inside the neon tube and makes it glow. You know, you can have a blown fluorescent tube and I can light it up for you. I can make it work. Yeah. Without getting inside the bulb and fixing anything, I just take the bulb off you and put it near a certain style of a coil and no problems.
The standard appliances that we use today rely on current watts and amps. You know, you got to have that current flow in order to be able to get these things to work.
And one of these things makes a lot of heat and burns stuff out. Can you children guess which one?
Huh.
It's the amps, isn't it?
Yep.
Amps causes heat. So if we go the other way and we stick with huge amounts of voltage... everyone there who's not, fully informed on this is sitting there going, whoa, man, you're talking, how many huge amounts of volts are you talking? Like, I'm talking like a million volts, and I'm not scared of a million volts either, because when implemented properly, it's actually entirely safe. I'll gladly grab hold of a million volts so long as I built the device that's putting it out. I just don't trust anyone with, my life. Tesla, how was it? 10 million watts? That's how he put it. The calculation being such a small amount of amps, but a huge amount of voltage and a huge amount of high frequency. So, effectively, he was getting what's referred to as the skin effect. So, where the energy isn't actually passing through any of your internal organs, it's skimming across the outer layers of your skin and doesn't cause you any problems whatsoever. It's when things go wrong and all of a sudden you get a lower frequency pulse come through, you're dead. Yeah. So, things have to be made correctly and handled correctly, but a million volts is fine to hold in your hand.
Well, either way, like I said, the current appliances that everybody are looking for the holy grail piece of machinery that will run all the inefficient appliances that we've got, and these systems that we're talking about could literally redefine the way that we look at electricity, because there's a lot of things going on out there that, there's anomalies that need to be researched. The way the actual, energy is created or moved from point A to point B, such as the, right now we use the brute force method to shake the electron loose and that electron trades places with the next one in line and therefore you start getting electricity. The current watts and amps will depend on the pressure, how much brute force you're putting behind that thing, cramming them. But you'll notice that most of the motors out there are in the range of about 60 hertz operating range. Anything above that, then you start creating enough friction that you in turn create heat that destroys that coil. And so what I'm talking about doing is literally figuring out the right frequency by which to stimulate the electron enough to bump it off of that atom and send it on down the line. It isn't the speed by which the electrons trade places. It's just the mere fact that when those two are in the general vicinity of them, they release a lot of energy, which we call electricity. You see where I'm coming from? And so, like the coils that Larry's talking about where they're not generating any heat, that's the key right there. If you can get that energy to flow without generating that heat, number one, your coils will last a long time, possibly even forever, because as long as that wire is not corroded or because it's not when we're running electricity and those atoms or electrons are trading places, they're not depleting. They're just simply trading places on that copper wire. You still have the same amount of electrons on that after you stop than you did when you started. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you run your generator for a while and then after a while you got to replace some of the copper wire because it ate up, you know, kind of like the electrolysis will eat one of the plates on the two dissimilar metals or whatever. So what do you think, man?
Like, oh, I say anything's possible. Just got to build it.
Well, I believe there's potential. I believe there's potential in everything. If you take that device and you expand on it right there, if you get the hydraulic pressure going along, I already seen the RPMs from the guy that did the one with the neon tubes and had the Corona motor spinning. I mean, he had some really good RPMs on that thing. I've seen a lot of Corona motors, but never one that was moving that fast.
Yeah.
And even the static motors, the atmospheric motors, there's... You know, you can get that thing to spin, but can you get enough torque? And that one, what was the video I sent?
It's the version 2 that Laser Hacker originally open sourced. Let me grab his name out the top of my head. Rimstar.org has built a replicate of. A much larger version of the one I've got, basically.
With more torque.
It's got a heck of a lot more torque, and that's what I've discussed 100 times with the boys, is that's, like, the very first thing I'm going to print out of that 3D printer when it arrives is the version 2, and then I'm going to continue with the project, because I already know, I've already figured, that the little one isn't going to be enough to drive what I want. That's fine.
But the fact that you can run it off of the atmosphere itself is the impressive deal.
Is an achievement enough. Yeah, exactly.
Now, you take that and expand on it. Not only are you running it off the atmosphere, but you're also generating enough speed and RPMs and torque with it to actually turn even a flywheel generation system or whatever. You know, and maybe you're just using it to spin a high voltage generator that is making even more high voltage that you're then arcing off into through a spark gap into a capacitor bank and then building up that charge. And we all know an 800 microfarad capacitor literally blow your finger off your hand. So there's a lot of power potential there.
Yeah, most certainly.
So, you know, with that said, there are solutions on the table that are being worked on. And so if people out there are listening, they believe in what it is that we're talking about, this isn't something like we're trying to sell you some sort of free energy device. You know, send us $40, we'll send you plans, and as long as you love your reactor, it'll work. If not, if you got a bad attitude, then you spent your money for nothing. You know, as soon as you get in a better attitude, your reactor will start functioning right. You know, this is about, we'll sell you the device.
Do you notice I just tried to be quiet there, but I obviously can't contain myself, you know. Mind you, though, I have to point out, Keshi has not come forward to try and sue me, even though I gave him my personal details after calling him a fraud in front of 100 witnesses, and then posting the exact same phrase again with him linked in a post on my Facebook wall in front of another couple of 100 people. And well, then again, I think another few hundred people during the week that have watched the video of me calling him fraud. And
well,
funny this.
On behalf of
a bastard like me was running around calling people a fraud.
On behalf,
how do you know that I'm not an actual bastard, Ellie?
On behalf of on behalf of some of the people in the group that are looking into his alternative energy deal, don't hold a grudge against some of these guys because maybe they're misguided in the deal, but some of the research that they're doing in nanotechnology and layering carbon and stuff like that...
Yeah, I'm still waiting on Vin... Was it Vince, his name?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I'm still waiting for him to call me on Skype. I've had a look at the stuff he wanted me to look at, and he started posing a couple of questions. Oh, I'm still waiting for him to call me on Skype, so if you're listening, Vince, or Shaziz, next time you talk to him, give him a contact again. I'm waiting for him to call me before he comes on the show, because I actually know exactly what angle he's coming at with what he's trying to back me into a corner where he's going to go, see, there is something, but actually no, there's not, and I want to explain that to him in much detail, and I can't do that in text.
Well, the
his next question ends with me referring to a plank length and then letting him bury himself so I can explain to him how it's wrong. So,
well, listen.
I'm not going to be nasty to Vince, alright, but I'm also not going to be told that, you know, Keshi's right on the ball and knows exactly what he's doing, because he really doesn't.
Well, if you got a device, don't drag people on for 3 years in order to do this one. But what I'm saying, though, don't underestimate their nanotechnology portion of the deal, because that, as far as I'm concerned, that's about all they got right on that whole situation. And there is some validity to graphene and stuff like that, you know, different types of copper oxides and stuff like that, or... You know, even if you just look at galvanized metal mixed with copper, you're talking about a galvanic action, which essentially is a little bit of energy release going on. So I don't want to overlook those anomalies for each one of these devices, and I don't want to overlook the guys' minds that are actually looking into this kind of stuff. Eventually, they'll find out whether the guy's up on the up and up or not.
Keshi's lunchbox of universe with a couple of copper coated electrodes hanging out of it.
Sadly,
that's exactly what Vince is still asking me about. And I do know exactly what's going on with that device, and it's not what you think. It's just an overexcited PN junction.
You're
going to be able to pull out of it versus, like, you know, the efficiency of making it and size that you will have to make it is ridiculous.
Listen,
I wouldn't even go there.
The only thing that I see that is going on in that little bottle reactor is a simple chemical battery type deal going on. Now,
resides on that plating.
If you got hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen bombarding in a little chemical reactor such as that, you are going to generate a bit of a charge in the millivolt range, because once those molecules are hitting, slamming into each other, there is going to be some form of energy release. However, in order to get it up to where you're actually going to have any substantial voltage, or to actually get into the plasma state, such as in a mercury arc or an argon-filled tube, you're going to have a whole lot of chemicals going on inside that deal, and to me, that's not a safe idea by any means. So when they start off building these bottle reactors, they coat it. You notice they'll coat it inside there. And so you have a layer of chemistry going on inside there that is reacting with the copper or whatever metals they're using. Even if you only got the same copper, you still got a chemical reaction.
You know what a red herring in a story is, don't you, Shaziz?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chemical they're putting in a bottle, that's the red herring, mate.
Yeah.
Do you remember the video that Mitko showed a few weeks ago of the diode that was producing energy?
Yeah.
Right, that's what we've got going on.
Yeah, so with that said, I don't see it ever... I don't see it...
It's literally a galvanic reaction happening on the actual coating itself, on the PN junction.
And I don't see it going any further than selling a whole lot of books with a whole lot of volumes and milking people for a whole lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way I feel about that. But these other devices that we're talking about, these are actual, you can put them together like the atmosphere motor, and it's proven technology can work. I want to expand on each one of these technologies. Like Larry's coils, for example, you know, he's got some pretty amazing things going on the coils. And, you know, if he wants to share some information with you after he does whatever he needs to do to protect his, intellectual properties, then, you know, you would be able to literally test these on your own bench, you know, and run from that. You might spark off a new idea that would, you know, put you a step ahead of where Larry's at, and you can share that idea back with him, you know?
Absolutely, and that's why I'm here. You guys are much, much, much more advanced in your science than we are.
Well, it's a combined brain, Larry. It's Coltis has done years worth of research. Thomas is amazing when it comes to chemistry, man, and his knowledge of different materials and the capacitance of and different things, you know, is just impeccable. And all of us together from all the different researches that we've done, you know, it's just right now we are at the golden age of information, sitting here in front of the you know, the World Wide Web with all kinds of resources and things that I overlooked that somebody else saw. You know, they throw me a link to a video and I'm like, Eureka, man, put that with this and you got something else, you know. That's where it all comes from. So don't ever underestimate your part in the machine, because each one of these pieces of the puzzle is what's going to solve this so-called energy crisis that we don't have.
That's right. Let me add in a point here. You and I both know, Shaziz, that we get together, you play music that I can't play, and I play music that you can't play. But watching each other, we learn.
Yeah.
I think one thing Larry excels in is modesty.
Well, and that's appreciated, because he don't got a big head. None of us do. But
hey, Jim, he floated my brain there for a while, and I'm like,
except maybe Coltis, he's got some helium.
I was gonna say, if anyone's got issues with big head syndrome, it may be me. Maybe. Just saying, it may be. But
I'm freaking
awesome. Come on.
Special caps to wear.
Well, you need to get you one of them beanies with the propeller on there, buddy.
Well, if I do that, you know I'm powering that sucker.
Yeah, solar.
Always wanted downflow.
Put a chin strap on it so you can fly over here.
Got it, bro. Got it.
Like Inspector Gadget.
Jim Prop.
Well, you know,
solar power cooler for your two beer cans.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so we're talking about nanofibers, nanotubes, chemistry, Stirling engines, Wimshurst generators, Stan Meyer's hydrogen, electrostatic
machine.
Some of the things, all these different devices together. I call it the dream team, because when you
see this. That is a perfect example of what you're trying to explain. Money just mentioned the Testatica machine. Where do you think my idea for coupling two Atmo motors with the discs of a Wimshurst generator came from?
Well, there you go, man.
That's a perfect example.
Self-perpetuating static generation.
Yep, and so...
And just to give it a little boost, I'm going to run a wire into the air and a wire into the ground, just to give it a little bit of extra flow. And a little more to draw off and a little bit more to put into.
And you need a place where you can put your finger on there and take that shock for the team, so we can put that video together with the Doug
stuff. Sure, no one's going to want to take a shock off this thing when it's gone.
I just want one thing. I want to see that picture with that diamond crown on your head there, Coltis.
with my diamond crown?
Yeah, prom queen, you know.
Holy smokes. I don't even want to visualize that. But either way,
sounds,
you know,
like I got them good. Top of the morning to you, mate.
There are solutions on the table. There are solutions. We know there's problems.
Out of that thing?
Will you guys stay focused?
Okay, I'll be good.
Focus.
Sorry.
Get that one eye going.
Cross my heart. Don't die laughing.
All right. So, we got a disruption at the table here. Kids will play.
Was that a ruckus I just heard?
Yeah, that was a ruckus. Could you describe the ruckus, sir? Anyway.
Naughty Connor.
What'd you say, Ellie?
Naughty Connor.
Yeah, that's it. Go over there to the stink corner, Coltis, and Muddy.
I'm going to turn my microphone off for 5 minutes. That'll work.
5 minutes?
This is fine, Muddy. This is fine, because we can conspire against them in the corner.
Oh,
we
man.
We can come back and get them good.
I would agree with
Buddy, 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 let's call Mama Bev.
Ellie, I think they're pouting, man.
You sure you don't want me to come back and join the group? She's this. I'm going to call Mama instead.
Ellie, they're over there pouting in the corner.
All right. Yeah, I'm calling Mama.
Anyway, don't do that.
Get you fixed up.
Anyway, there are solutions on the table. So there's proof positive what we're talking about. The world isn't beyond hope. It is fixable. It's just going to take a while to steer this boat around in the right direction that humanity has allowed it to go down. And so if you believe in the alternative energy or alternative food or whatever, get out there and support those individuals by throwing links in chat rooms and on your social medias and all that. Tell your friend, or maybe throw some flyers up somewhere, you know, and get people here at the table. There's an idea in somebody's head out there that is the key to the puzzle. Right now, I'm a firm believer we already got the answers that we need. It's just a matter we got to get together and build it.
Man, it's the jigsaw puzzle scenario, mate. We've disregarded the 990,000 pieces that don't actually fit. We've got the other handful left that actually will. Now, it's just a matter of putting it together. We've deciphered all BS out there, you know? Like, as I was discussing with someone today on one of our Facebook groups, you know, ever since I hurt myself at work, this is all I have done. All I have done is read Tesla patents and build devices and read more freaking Tesla patents, right? And so I'm really irked when I see groups out there getting funded to build Tesla coils because they're not built.
Yeah, you got kicked off Facebook on that one. That was funny.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that's
but you were right.
Damn straight I was right. I know I was right.
A little bit of tact might help, but you know, I think you tried for tact.
I did try.
A very good try.
Thank you, buddy. It was an effort, man. I just wanted to yell at him straight off the bat. But the bottom line is, alright, the bottom line is, if ever anyone is getting funding and they're building a Tesla-style apparatus for the transmission of wireless energy, and you see a pancake coil, you know they're full of it. And I'll guarantee you that. I will put any amount of money on that you want to put on it. And then I will prove it to you, and you can pay up. I'm happy with that scenario. Because I can back that up with patents and dates that correlate Tesla's mind to not even considering using a pancake coil in the building of Wardenclyffe.
Well, there was a lot of people going down the wrong direction as far as wireless energy transmission, because for one, if you notice a lot of my videos, most of my videos, except for the one we did called Breakout, I'm not trying to bring it to the point of breakout. I'm just bringing it to the point where the frequency is resonating and then transferring that energy wirelessly. So there's no loss in the system that I'm talking about, and that's what Tesla was doing.
It's a capacitor plate. It's not a lightning rail.
Tesla made the light show to get people's attention. But if they would have paid more attention, then they would have understood that there's a whole lot. You know, look at your radio transmissions. And I know Muddy knows about this because he's a CB-er from way back. You're literally transmitting electricity through the air wirelessly. You know, so it's not something that can't be done.
Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't shooting sparks off a Wardenclyffe either.
No. But this is the thing. This is where people get confused because they want to do it, right? Okay? Now, there is two kinds of people in this scenario. There are those who are setting out to rip people off, all right? And they're the ones who do the really cool-looking video with all the nice graphics and have themselves, you know, an association with a university that's probably fake or something anyway, and this and that, and, you know, they're well-prepared. They're not like us, who are more interested in getting our research done than chasing our funding and dealing with people, you know? We'd just rather get the work done, and if someone happens across us, you know, and wants to, you know, help out, that'd be awesome. You know, but that doesn't happen because we go unseen. But so there's the person who actually does go out with the full intention of trying to rip people off. But then there are those who Google free energy and Tesla, and what are they met with? They're met with everybody else's try, and everybody else's try is, again, a lightning machine. It's a Tesla coil. It's not a, an apparatus for transmission of electrical energy.
Go look at Ryan's one of Ryan's videos. I don't know if he's posted it live yet or not. Talk to Ryan about this wireless energy transmission. Now, he did have some corona coming off the top of that. But you look at the distance between his coil, his transmitting coil, and his receiving coil, and that is some impressive distance that he was getting going on there.
Again, though, I was talking about this.
Wait, in the other room.
I was talking about this with Larry today, actually. It'd be really good if he would start actually keeping numbers. And like, I'd actually like to, like, if he is getting what he's getting, I'd actually like to see some proper videos done on how they're put together, where his wires are running, the whole lot.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean no disrespect to the man, I haven't spoken to him in nearly 2 weeks. I don't know where he disappeared. As soon as I started doing this fraudster assassination stuff, he kind of seemed to drop me like a hot potato. I don't know.
I talked to him just about the other day. He sends me a video every once in a while, a little on Skype
He's got a spammer set up on his Google Plus, so when he posts a video, like, everybody gets an email about it. I get him too, but like, he needs to start, and this is what all the researchers need to do, especially, like, you know, working on this kind of stuff. Start taking accurate measurements and numbers.
Well,
and people go, oh, and Ryan always says, I hate doing that. I think that's just, you know,
well,
a whole different side of it. And well, no, you have to do it.
That's
and that goes for all the researchers out there. You're doing it on video. People don't go to your house and check out what you're doing.
That's where the virtual labs thing is going to come into play, to where somebody can in the chat room says, hey, I noticed you got an oscilloscope over there. Can you hook it to a piece of aluminum? And test this one particular area I'm interested in, because while you're working on your device and they're working on theirs, they're troubleshooting theirs, and vice versa. One of you guys is going to come up with the right idea on how to measure this properly to get get the information across to everybody. And so this is why I'm stuck on this virtual labs thing. I know I keep repeating it, but we really seriously need to get this on the road, so that we can put cameras on our stuff and show.
I can't really publicly announce where our web dev is, because I shouldn't even know where they are. But in that being said, our web dev is in the military, and we're just going to have to be patient.
Yeah.
Because no one else can achieve what he's going to achieve for the almighty payment of, well, I think he got about $800 for doing what he's done. So, you know.
Well, either way, we're working towards that. There is a solution on the table when we're working towards that. So, with that said, in the meantime, you do have the access to the videos. Download these videos and scrutinize them. Tear them apart, you know. Build these devices yourself. Ask for schematics and so on and so forth.
If you are actually communicating with an honest person, It's like when Mitko was playing around the same video I was talking about a few moments ago about the diode getting energy purely out of a PN junction. You know, the first thing I thought of was, I was wondering if he was getting a thermal couple between the dissimilar metals on the connections, and just by, you know, the heat in his hand and the heat in the sunlight was actually heating it up just enough to make the multimeter change. Very unlikely, I understand, because, you know, you're only talking a couple of, you know, two connections of
a
difference.
I gotta interject here when you're done.
Yep, no worries. But now, thanks, Muddy. I totally lost my chain of thought.
I'm sorry. I'll interject now. You'll get it back. Anyway, on one little subject of scrutinizing somebody else's work.
Oh, sorry. That's what I was saying.
I'll probably only take about a minute and a half. I get people to get on, you know, they're really just, you know, once in a while they get the right boo-boo and pull. And they get on, people that haven't made a single video at all will get on there and say, it would have been a nice video if it wasn't for them green letters on the screen, especially scrolling green letters. Other than that, it might have been a decent video. And, it, you know, trying to tell you how to do something they haven't done it themselves. I think Shaziz hit it on the head when he says, build these things yourself and then decide. And And I don't like talking about anybody when they're out of school unless it's all positive. So one guy decided to play this game on Ryan Abrams. He put on there, it's useless, wasted so many minutes of my life, blah, 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 what's it good for, and like that, you know? And I, you know, so I said, that's a great question, mister. I said, here's the deal. I said, it's Ryan Abrams Lab Tesla art. I said, for a guy who's done this for maybe 4 to 5 months and built over 100 of these things and made them all artistically perfect with the artistic hand, I learned that anything that you enjoy, you will excel at. He has definitely excelled in enjoying it and making great.
Oh, I'm impressed with his work. I'm impressed.
So I said, what is the point of golf? What's the point of football or soccer? It's because you enjoy it. You know, and you build it and you do it. I said, and I hope you excel in what you do too, sir. And thank you very much. And that was my comment.
I'm impressed with
that. That's my whole theory. I scrutinized the guy for cutting him down and doing it, but I didn't put the man down himself. And, you know, I just don't believe in putting somebody down behind, you know, it's cool to sit behind a keyboard and nobody knows who you are and just go, I can say anything I want. Mm-hmm. That's like slamming the airwaves on a CB by kicking 1,500 watts and dead keying everybody out, you know.
Yo, Muddy.
Doesn't solve anything. It's not constructive.
Muddy, you mentioned how Brian was kind of a short-termer on the alternative energy and how much he's advancing. I'm impressed with his research because whenever I watch these alternative energy videos, I'm not looking at it the way the average Joe looks at it. I'm looking for those anomalies. Like Coltis did a video quite some time back where he had a coil out there in Australia that he was getting some ludicrous breakout going on. I mean, it was just mind-boggling.
Right.
And that was the anomaly. You've got to go plat, I guess, like Thomas says. Anyway, but either way, it was really impressive, and that was the thing that I liked the most about that specific video, where, like, in Ryan's deal, the video that I was talking about, the distance from his transmitting coil to his other coil was amazing, all right? And
yeah, it was way in the other room.
Yeah.
Small. And I know how big that thing is. Awesome.
So, you know, these are the things that I look at when I watch these alternative energy videos. I'm looking for not only the fraudster portion of it, where they're hiding the batteries at, but I'm also looking at the anomalies going on in the alternative energy device. Because like I said, when it comes to the laws of physics, I don't care about the 9 times out of 10 that it happened the same way, and so they declared it to be one of the laws of physics. I'm interested in why it is that that one specific one happened a different way. You see where I'm coming from?
Right, exactly.
Anyway, the solutions are there. They're on the table. We can make this world a better place, you know, one positive pebble at a time, but it comes down to something simple. If you see an alternative energy device and you think it's bogus, build it. Prove it. Debunk it. Or whatever. But it ain't going to happen.
Call. Let me know it's there.
Yeah.
Like that video you was asking about the other day. And I put down there, I told you exactly what was going on. It's mutual inductance from a coil nearby. So, I can light up them 8-inch fluorescent tubes with a CB antenna mm-hmm. and some watts, you know? I mean, it doesn't suck, but I don't see no breakout coming off the thing. But when they do them big shootouts, that they call it, where all they get on CBs and kick out millions of watts up there in D.C., man. I'm sure you see lightning and everything coming off them things and coronas and everything's lighting up. You stand back, not just to protect yourself, but your cell phone.
One of you boys asked before, how would you measure, like, the energy coming off a Tesla coil, or, like, wireless energy transmission? I do not understand why no one has ever tried something I have suggested 100 times over, and I've actually got all the equipment in my crate, which when it finally gets through customs, I can have it back. At 1 meter, with a specific fluorescent tube, I mean, we would need to standardize the testing process to some point, so a 13 watt, you know, four foot four football, and strap a lux meter to the bastard. Then,
well,
at 1 meter...
I'll tell you how complicated it can get. Number one, you got to measure heat out. You got to remember, you got electricity coming from the earth on a single wire. You need to measure that in AC, DC, voltage.
No, we're talking about actual output of the unit, right?
Right. The output comes from the from what you draw from the earth, so there's your source other than what you put in as a supply voltage. You'd have to measure that as well. Then for the efficiency, you have to find some way of measuring your AC, DC, and RF.
You're absolutely missing my whole point here, buddy. You're missing my whole point and taking it too far in the wrong direction, mate. The problem that everyone does is they stack 40 freaking fluorescent bulbs around their device. They all light up 1/10 of their strength, and they go, look, I'm powering 40 13-watt bulbs. I'm a legend. No, you're not. None of them are lighting up properly. Okay? This is why I'm trying to suggest a standardized way of testing. Now, if you can get a 13-4-foot bulb to light up to X amount of lumens at 1 meter... Our old mate down the road can only get half as much as that, then he's obviously got a lot smaller output. But just a visual reference by your own eye of having 40 fluorescent bulbs around your coil and then recording that and putting it on YouTube and saying you're the master of free energy and wireless transmission, I think is a load of tripe.
Well, either way...
I really like to see...
Either way, that falls back to virtual labs again. It falls back.
Half-decent viable test. And I think that is actually a half-decent viable test in what we've got to work with.
That falls back to virtual labs once again is because there's a lot of brilliant minds out there. And so when we open virtual labs to the public so that the average Joe out there might be somebody out there who has a really brilliant idea on how to check the, we can check the frequency using a piece of aluminum foil and an oscilloscope. That's easy enough done. There can be some good measurements as far as power outage, the lumens that you're talking about off the bulb itself. There's camera equipment out there that you can use that will tell you how bright something is.
A multimeter now that comes with a lumen meter on it. So,
yeah.
You know,
so there you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like for what we have access to, like everyone can get their hands on an old fluorescent tube that no longer works when plugged into a proper ballast, but is still full of excitable gas. And... You know, most people can at least save up for the $20 multimeter if they have to. They can't afford $20 straight up.
So we could put a...
How do you measure the breakout when it's dispersed?
Why are you measuring? No, but this is just what Shaziz and I were talking about before. You shouldn't be measuring breakout. You shouldn't have it in the first place.
Yeah, but if you do have breakout, there is an equation out there for how many inches an arc is.
That is
will tell you
the most flawed sum in the world. Right?
Well,
it's not bad, and it works for your spark gap.
That's what I'm saying, but something's better than nothing.
Off the top load?
Multi-directional breakout.
You can't, yeah.
There's no way to count it all at
that's
one time.
That's what I'm trying to get at, yeah. You can do that some for a spark gap.
You could put it in a special room to measure the charge coming into the room. It'd have to be like an all-steel room or something. I mean, it gets more and more expensive and more expensive and more expensive. And how do you measure what is left of the room? So, you have to get some measurements. You can get some measurements.
All right, that's why I want that doggone wind turbine with the high voltage set up so that I can shoot a lightning bolt from clear across the yard from the tower over there where the turbine's at, all the way chasing me around the yard with a big old lightning bolt. See, that's going to make me happy. Once I get past the point of ludicrous amount of high voltage, then I'll work from there. And then you guys can do the math.
Gluteus Maximus Lightning Tracker.
Yeah, there you go.
I wish I had one of those.
And I want to get it on video. As old King Shaziz the Terrible is running around screaming bloody murder because he's getting struck by lightning every 5 seconds. I want to get it on video because that ought to go viral on YouTube. I haven't had a video yet go viral. You know, I would have thought my how to properly panic during global warming would have went viral.
No, it's because we're not putting enough effort into our media.
That one did not go viral?
Nope.
No way. Oh, man.
What a mess.
That's right. We used to have a video of Catherine dancing around in a duck suit, man. That didn't even go freaking viral.
Anyway.
Sad state of affairs.
You get a cat with a crooked eye smashing into a wall over and over, and that'll go viral. It don't make no sense to me.
Cat, I mean, Catherine.
No, I'm saying Catherine, just...
giant duck suit dancing around, singing, what's that song? Not a chicken, I'm a duck or whatever it is. Quack, 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 quack.
I don't know, man.
Must not have went viral.
No. Either way, man.
I was hoping it would, but then I started to just feel bad for it. Like, it was just doing nothing. Like,
that stupid cat, peanut butter jelly. Oh, my goodness. I got so sick of seeing that everywhere.
But that's over and
it was only there was only one picture of a cat reversed one way back to the other. That was goofy.
It's over unity, bro, okay? You take a cat lands on its feet, always. Toast will always land butter side down. So you strap the toast to the back, the toast up the wrong way, onto the back of the cat, so the toast is into the cat's back, and then you try to drop the cat on its feet, like backwards. And it has to work, dude. Come on, it's troll science, man.
Oh, you're cruel. Poor kitty cat.
All right. No putting tape on the bottom of the cat's feet. No butter on the bread on the back of the cat. Man.
So talcum powder and dumping it in the bushes, what?
No.
I do like that.
What'd you
say again?
I said I can call up animal welfare.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell them the same thing I tell the government. I wouldn't ask my dad for permission. I'm not asking you. Get away from me.
All right. I'll be the dummy.
I will be the dummy. Mind. I thought it was a bad thing at first. I saw the squirrel catapult. And I said, man, poor squirrel. But the squirrel came back to do it again. It was like a Disneyland for him. Just, hey, wing, go fly through the air. And he come back and he got in it again and it shot him off again. So I thought it was a cruel video at first, and I saw it do it several times.
Wanted it, yeah.
I will be the dummy. I will strap a piece of buttered toast on my back and jump off the porch and see where I land. What do you think?
Okay. Come on for that. You realize, this is the thing, you do realize that humans don't have the ability to always land on their feet, Shaziz.
Well, as long as I don't land on my face. I dove off the high dive one time, and because I'm so skinny, the aerodynamics underneath me didn't work out so well, and it was like a flat plank slapping the water all face first.
Well, look, mate, look, we're all about R&D here, so I'm not going to make any guarantees. We really need to do further research and development into your theory there, but I'm pretty sure you're going to have a grazed something on your face.
Yeah, I'm real interested in measuring the output of the Tesla coil and learning how. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Well, see, this is what Shaziz and I and many others have discussed on thousands of occasions, I'm sure. But that top light on your Tesla coil, you should not be getting breakout. And Tesla described himself as the opposing capacitance plate to the Earth. The breakout is just a pure loss of energy. So, you don't want a breakout.
Well, if you think about nature trying to balance itself out...
And if you've got it contained there, I don't see why you can't measure the field using a fluorescent tube and a lumen meter.
Well, I think you could, but...
You're not going to be able to sit there and say, I'm getting this many watts out of the thing, but you are going to say, I'm getting this much compared to other bloke over there who's getting this much. So, I'm getting more...
And you have to figure it as a new tube... And you're not an old one, and you're also going to have to figure what's in that tube, and is it bright white, soft white, that pink light, grow light,
I think you'd be right on what you're working with, but as far as age goes, nah, that matters a scrap, because you're talking about exciting the atoms of the gas. You're not running that fluorescent tube like it was intended.
Well, all tubes lose the gas over time.
Well, there's a simple solution to the whole deal. You can take them bulb starters, fluorescent bulb starters, because they have argon gas in there, and they're all pretty standard, so you could get a general measurement with that bulb starter.
You're not going to get the same measurement on the lux meter.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a standard measurement using one simple thing. You're not going to be able to get the lumens, obviously, but you will be able to get, it will tell you there's going to be some voltage going on there, and it'll be measured in DC as opposed to AC.
You might be able to measure it with your Atmos motor and measuring the horsepower out.
I still think the most standardized thing we have is going to be a fluorescent tube and 11 meter.
All right, well, whatever. We can work it all out.
Reason, and let me explain why I think that. It's because you're not just playing around with AC or DC. You're inducing static. You're playing around with high frequencies. You're using stuff that even your fluorescent starter isn't going to rectify completely. There's spikes and there's little pulses going through there of energy that we are not trained in how to measure properly. The fluorescent tube, however, the gases inside that, they excite based on the amount of energy field coming off that wireless transmission.
All right, well, either way, it's something we can work out for virtual labs, get some measurements going on, build some videos, a finding spot where we can post our findings on measurements and stuff and how we did it. But we're coming down to the wire again. There's like 10 minutes left, so I guess this would be about the time to go around and see if anybody's got any last words on anything that we've talked about during the show, or just... peace and love to the world kind of thing. So where do you want to start?
I'll start in the top corner with Sir Thomas, as always right on the spot.
Did we lose Thomas?
Yeah, he's sitting in the room here though. I don't think he's with us presently, so I'll push right along. And Sir Dublin, I love getting it right. Dublin just dropped out too. What's going on? They're all running away. They're scared.
I don't know.
They're all eating peanut butter and don't have any milk.
There he is.
Y'all killing me.
He's rattling. Come on, Dub.
Dublin.
Saw you rattle that mic, bro.
Our time's a ticking.
Okay. Well, Sir Steve, would you like to have some final words of input? Dub, you're killing me for that noise, bro.
Come on, brother, unmute the mic or something. Talk. All right, move right along. How about you, Steve?
Are you there, Steve? Is anyone here?
Dang, did we lose everybody?
No.
Let's go to Ellie. She's talking.
Yeah, jump in, Ellie. Save us.
Oh, okay, well, if anyone can hear me, I was going to say, as she just said, love and peace to everyone, but also just pay it forward, you know, and just love. Just show everybody love.
That's awesome. That's you can't say it any better than that. I mean, you know, love is a pretty powerful tool if people would just use it, you know, common sense and respect for one another. And paying it forward, doing things for people just because, you know, those are the positive pebbles that we've been talking about. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And don't give where you can't give when it comes to paying it forward either. Don't run yourself broke and dry trying to help people, because you'll find that in that position, you're going to lose out, and the people you help probably won't appreciate it anyway.
Help the people that need it the most that actually will appreciate it. Don't ask for your help.
Yeah. Well, more what I'm getting at is make sure you're in the position to help completely. So where I was explaining before, it's to be a profound change in that person's life. There's no point rocking up to pay it forward and you know, buying a homeless man a sandwich, for example. okay? Yeah. Because you haven't profoundly changed his world. You just made his belly not, you know, you made him full for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, but don't That's underestimate that as well. That just
yeah, I understand she says, but no, what we are talking about is if
what you're
can
trying
afford,
to say is buy the homeless man a house, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. If you can afford to buy the homeless man a house, buy him a house, or if you can afford to give him a job so he can get his own house. Okay, that's more what I'm talking about. You don't need to buy a homeless man a house, right? Who's familiar with the video of the, like, I mean, it was a complete setup in the first place, and I understand that. Most people thought it was just a really good deed, but it wasn't. But the sentiment behind it's really good. It is the fella who raised all the money to rent the homeless man a house for a year and give him some money to get a job and all the rest of it. You guys see that? It was on floating around YouTube about 3 months ago.
No, I didn't see it.
Anyhow, it was a bit of a setup, but anyway, that as I said, doesn't take away from the sentiment of it. If you can afford, like, say you own a business, give one new person a go a month if you can afford to put them on, you know. And if they don't work out, if they are a hassle, well, that's not the person you're going to end up helping, you know. But you
can
go through half a dozen people
ahead,
and find someone who's been living on the streets for the last, you know, 10 years, who actually really did want a job and really want to give it a go, and, you know, you're going to luck out. You are going to profoundly change somebody's life.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, for example, I'll tell you a story.
I haven't got long for a story, Ellie.
No, it's a very quick one. My mum's friend, her friend lives on Kangaroo Island, which is a little island off Australia. Anyway, she lost pretty much everything. She lost her house, she lost her husband, everything. And she was in all these, and her medical problems as well. But mum said to her one day, she said, right, no worries, I've got a spare car here. Do you want this car? And that was the best gift we gave her. She was so excited. She got something, you know, she had a car to run around with.
So I needed to find the difference between just common help and helping your fellow man versus a pay it forward.
Exactly.
Okay. You should go knock on your next door neighbour's house if his lawns are too long and make sure he's okay, and go mow his lawns just for the heck of it. That's got nothing to do with paying it forward.
No.
When you're aiming to pay it forward and descriptively tell that person, now I have profoundly changed your life, I want you to do the same for three other people when you can.
All right, guys, this is wonderful, but we're like super down to the wire down there. Anybody last?
You got 4 minutes.
Who else is here? Let someone else say something.
Yep. No one else is talking.
All right. Well, with that said,
I took the floor.
We got almost 4 minute outro going on here, so we'll go ahead.
Well, with all that said, pop over to the website during the week, kultus.weebly.com, kultus.weebly.com. Plenty of changes over there, plenty of new stuff, and make sure you come to shazizradio.com. And plenty of changes being made over here as well. So, yeah.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Like I said before, you can become an honorary knight just by showing up in the chat room and throwing some pertinent links or good positive information out there, or join us in on Skype, contact myself, Cultus, or any of the Knights of the Round Table, and just come on live and sit around a table and help us work out these solutions and stuff. So that's what it's all about. With that said, to all the ones that didn't get something to say in there and in there, sorry, I don't know where y'all went. Peace and love to everybody.
They'll run away.
Yeah. And thanks to all the knights and the dames of the round table, and thanks to all the listeners and the folks in the chat room. Peace and love to everybody. Take care.
In that castle over there. I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Who he? Who he? To Shaziz the Turtle. King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.